Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I don't think yesterday was a Kevin Stefanski loss per se. I'll also say so much of why you and I have talked about Andrew Berry today is just it seems like Kevin is taking the brunt of this loss, and that just that feels disproportionate to why the Browns are where they are over the last, what is it now, carry the two, 22, 23, 24 games?
Yeah, it's funny because it feels like it's a spread the blame around week.
Yeah.
And it feels like, so if last week was on Kevin, this week is more on everyone just saying, you got to blow the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Let's go Oppenheimer on it, just full nuclear. And it just, it kind of feels like the mentality now. And I can't argue with any fan that wants that, by the way. I have no defense of this group. I have no defense of DePodesta and Berry and Stefanski and the trio, and then mixed even with Haslam. I got nothing. That you've left me with no arrow in my quiver.
At least with Kevin. And again, I'm the guy that would have fired him last December for Vrabel. So I am in no way I'm turning into a Kevin Stefanski apologist. But at least with Kevin, I know if I give him a quality roster, he can win. He might not be able to win everything, but he can at least be competitive. Andrew Berry's the guy that took this from Nick Chubb to Baker Mayfield, Myles Garrett to so on and so forth, to Myles Garrett being the last man standing, right? And I just think, all that said, here's where Kevin did factor in the loss yesterday. There's one thing to be vanilla, which is bad enough. There's another to have a rookie quarterback who doesn't have a strong arm, who is behind a bad offensive line, who is not the biggest guy in the world, to drop back and throw 52 times. And Quinshon Judkins had 12 carries yesterday. And by the way, we can say that the Browns didn't run the ball well, and we'd be you'd be 100% right in saying that. They also had a better yard per carry on their limited carries than the Steelers did on their bountiful carries. But this comes back to this. You built this whole offense around one player. And one position, really. It's a running back. It's Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah.
He's the only thing that goes. And when you get into a game where it was a 1-2 possession, maybe what I think it was a 10-point game going into the fourth quarter, when you have a game that is that close, you cannot bail and put it on the pass game that early. And it is fair to say, well, you didn't have any success running. Yes, but you don't give up on that. In that kind of game, you keep running and understand so, Dylan Gabriel might have to mitigate or might have to work around some third and sixes.
I mean, he tried early. Browns ran 15 plays for 35 yards over the first three drives. He tried early, and I think what happened, I'll give Coach Rhea some credit. In the pregame where me and Coach were discussing how this was all going to look, he was like, it's pretty simple. This is the time they're going to dare Dylan Gabriel to beat them with his arm. Like, they're going to stack the box, everything predictable that you would think, but they're going to make Dylan beat him with his arm. And the run game's going to really struggle because of it. And the run game did really struggle because of that. And I think once Dylan wasn't able to beat him through any amount of distance through the air, I almost wonder if Stefanski just waved the white flag on that because he knew he was setting Quinshon up to fail. I'm not making an excuse for him here. It's just what the game dictated in many ways was not favorable to having Quinshon go out there and try to carry everything.
Yes. But at some point, you have to put him on the table and say, this is who we are. And to go away three series in when the game is close. And by the way, let's be real clear here. The Steelers weren't necessarily the best offense we've ever seen. While the Steelers had some success offensively, your defense was keeping you in a position to win.
It was a 9-3 game at the half. You were right there,
and so
all things
like,
considered. It felt like 90-3, but you were right there.
And so like that's where I struggle with. Of like, I think Kevin going away from the run game and doing exactly what the Steelers wanted him to do, which is, let's see if Dylan can beat you.
That's the problem. He fell right into the Steelers' trap.
And I think that put Dylan in a bad situation. I think it put the offense, who's already behind the eight ball and then some, I think it put them in a bad situation. Bailing on the run when you're down two scores in the fourth quarter, understandable. Bailing on the run in the early second quarter, when you're down, I think at that point you were down maybe a field goal. That's like, and by the way, that's a cliche that has become young, and I don't want to say young because I know Kevin's a grown man, he's like 46, but that is a cliche of younger head coaches in the NFL. Younger offensive-minded head coaches, the second you take away the run, they're like, cool, I get to throw it. And it's honestly, it's what separates McVay and Shanahan and Kevin O'Connell and guys like Kevin Stefanski and Mike McDaniel.
Well, you'd get excited if you had a quarterback that last week wasn't 3 of 10 on passes that traveled at least 10 air yards. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd get excited if you had a quarterback that could actually hit that. I think it's funny, as much as we talked about Tomlin almost defending Stefanski earlier today, the broadcast at one point had mentioned the story where they said that Tomlin had mentioned, how did he word it? I'm trying to think of it. The Browns chew with their mouths closed. That's how he said it. The Browns chew with their mouths closed. And how they interpreted that, the Tomlinism, was that basically they're scared to do anything. And they're not going to be attacking in any sort of way. So like Tomlin told the broadcasters what were going to happen before the game and then watched it play out to a T. Like that's some predictable offense in a way that Stefanski's got to go back to the drawing board and figure out how that went down and really how to adjust.
216-474-0092. How much of yesterday was on Kevin Stefanski? We do have to get to an impatient Myles Garrett. But let's go with Tony in Cleveland. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? You say that Kevin is a fraud of it. He is, truly is. But one thing, let me say this. I got to be a better fan, okay? But anyway, Jenkins is the best offensive player that we have on the team. So why don't they give him to the ball at least twice in a row? They never do that. They give it to him, then three plays later, they give it to him.
They did
again
on the final drive in Minnesota. He went back-to-back, and then the third and 11 they threw. But they gave it to Jenkins back-to-back carries there, like the most important part of the game.
Yeah, but he didn't do it in Pittsburgh. That was yesterday's game. You see what I'm saying? They had a
You said never do it. He did it last week in the most important part of the game.
Yeah, and Juggins, I mean, the quarterback, he almost had six interceptions, but he still want to throw the ball. See what I'm saying? That's what Kevin do.
We agree. Tony, we appreciate you. Thank you so much there. Let's go.
I don't think we agree. I think that was the point.
Well, you were being a literal Louie. He did
it. Well, but it was true, was it not?
It was. I was agreeing with the last thing that he said, which is Kevin throwing 52 times is something that Kevin does. That is, I mean, this is how the Browns are going to win. Quinshon's going to carry the ball 20 times a game. You're probably going to get another 5 to 10 carries from your other running backs. And then Dylan's going to throw 25 to 30 attempts with 3 to 5 decent throws down the field. Like, that's, if you could draw it up in a lab, that's how you do it, right there. That ratio of 30 rushes, 35 rushes, maybe 40 rushes to 25 to 30 attempts. Like, I know that it is very easy to move on from Dylan today for a lot of obvious reasons. I didn't believe in the guy when you drafted him. I thought it was a bad decision then. You were in the same boat. But in the interest of, like, logic, I can't grade Dylan Gabriel off that game yesterday.
No, yesterday was not his fault in many ways. Now, was he great? No, but it wasn't his fault in many ways. Now, not only with the offensive line being as bad as it was, the drops you have with the receivers, like it's a masterclass of suck around him right now, and that's just unfortunate for him.
I know we've already talked about Isaiah Bond getting donked in the helmet.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard on the, I can't remember who actually got credit for the sack because it was like three Steelers.
Oh yeah, and JJ Watt's like, and Ian Eagle is like, do they do third sacks?
There, yeah.
And JJ Watt did not want to joke with that at all.
But if
the half sack was his principal.
He was definitely offended by that. But the sack actually went to the Browns, and I couldn't tell if it was Conklin or Teller or Posick. But basically, Dylan felt a body wrap around him, and it was his own offensive lineman. And it looked like Big Spoon, Little Spoon, and I chortled.
He's very used to laughing. He's very used to Big Spoon, Little Spoon.
That's true, but he's always the Little Spoon.
Exactly the point.
He's a tiny little guy.
He got hit 16 times yesterday.
Is that bad?
That's not good.
Okay.
It's not good.
So would you say in the future they should do that less?
I did think it was funny, by the way, all my Shador Sanders people moved the conversation to, we want to see Shador play, to immediately, maybe it's all right that he hangs out for a little bit longer.
Yeah, let the offense develop. You know what I mean?
After watching that offensive line of the receivers, maybe we don't need to rush Shador Sanders into this because it doesn't seem like Peyton Manning in his prime could win with his offensive line and wide receivers.
Also, we abandon the moving Dylan around thing. We're just done with that after 1 week.
I don't know.
I remember one of the things that they touted when they went with him was he's more mobile, so you can get him out on boots and, you know, like, you know, just little creative plays to keep the heat off.
All the RPOs and everything that they'd put in there. But it's part of the reason why they were worried about Shador as a backup is because it wouldn't translate the same way. And then it looked like Dylan had his.
And then it didn't translate for Dylan.
Oh, it looked like he had his feet stuck in quicksand. I don't know what that was.
Let's go with Cool Ray in Bedford. Cool Ray, what you got, bud?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing today?
Hey, man. We're doing all right. What you got?
Yo, so I put this soul loss on Stefanski, and it's because the narrative that, you know, Dylan's a better quarterback, and his arm strength, his speed show. We know how bad the offensive line has been, but at the end of the day, we're looking at individual abilities. But moving forward, I think that every loss now has to be put on the owner. You know, because you have the ability to make coaching changes, you have the ability to make personnel changes, and you're not. Because this team, listen to your fan base. Some of us have been fans since Red Right 88. And we're telling you now that this is the first time in our life that we felt bored watching this team. Like, we weren't even competitive. Like, this is supposed to be a rivalry. We hate this team. And we watch a coach just quit. We watch a team quit. And I know we don't want to assume that, and I know you guys in the media won't say that, but we watched, all Browns fans watch this team quit. We watch a coach put a quarterback on the field that shouldn't be on the field and just kill him out there like that yesterday. This team is not that bad. This team is quitting on this coach.
Correct.
It has to be said.
Correct. They're 1-5. They've been blown out 3 times. They are that bad.
But they're not bad because of a. But we're watching this team. These are NFL players, and we understand if another coach.
Every team is there, NFL players. They're cool, Ray. That doesn't mean all of them are good NFL players.
But look at the game plan, like just thinking and dunking. They're unwatchable. Now, this is a game plan. And everybody's acting like this is the way to win. It is not. Even Chicago is barely watchable, but the Browns are even below Chicago watchable. The Giants has always been unwatchable, but people are watching the Giants more than we're watching the Browns.
All right. Cool, Ray. We appreciate you, buddy. We are up against it. Here's the problem. This is what you signed up for. When we talked about going back to the Stefanski offense, when we talked about the wide zone run blocking scheme, this is what they were signing up to do. Maybe not this vanilla, but in fairness, I think the first 4 games with Flacco were getting the offense ready for Dylan Gabriel, and then by the time the offense was ready for Dylan Gabriel, they don't have an offensive line that can block for the quarterback. So I just think, like, I get it. We want the pound of flesh. We want Kevin's got to be the fall guy. Guys, nothing's going to get better. It's not a good team. The offensive line is not good, and that's because of the talent they have. It's not scheme. It's not this. Could they be a little bit more watchable? Yeah, but they got a pint-sized quarterback who's not a guy that throws beyond the sticks. Like, this is what everybody asked for when we benched Joe Flacco 2 weeks ago. I don't know we should be that surprised at how bad it looks, because this was always the downside of making that move.
No, this was always on the table. Like, this was something that could happen to the Browns, and now it's happened. And I do think people are surprised at the degree that it's happened within the offensive line, and then also even with the receivers, but it was always on the table. We've seen this before. This is not the first time we've seen the offensive line just go through injury after injury and replacement after replacement. We've seen this.
Now, finally, I'm hearing more people say that Kevin Stefanski is just an A-plus version of Pat Shurmur, which is something I've said for a while now. That does feel like it rings a little bit more true after yesterday. We'll ask Daryl Ryder how much of yesterday was on Kevin Stefanski in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
The Browns are 1-5. They got their butts kicked in Pittsburgh. To talk about the many, many, many ways the Browns have disappointed us, we head out and welcome in Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, how you doing?
I'm just trying to be better, guys.
Hey, you know what? If you just say that, it's like if you tap your chest and say, my bad, in radio, I can't yell at you. Because you've said you're bad. Same thing with Kevin Stefanski. If you're just trying to be better, well, who the hell am I to judge anyone?
Right. That's where my focus is this week, Nick, is I'm just trying to be better.
Was that the worst loss of the Browns season yesterday, or is it just the most recent loss?
Just the most recent. I'm sure there are plenty more worse losses to come.
I meant of the losses
the ones we've already seen.
Oh, okay.
We know what week 18 is going to be, okay, here?
Well, I would say as far as just the overall, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty pathetic performance, especially on the offensive side of the things. They have nothing going on that side of the ball right now. Dylan Gabriel's not the answer. I think we know that. And, you know, Shedeur Sanders isn't going to save this thing. I don't think Kevin Stefanski's going to save this thing. I don't know who can save this thing. But right now it really feels unsalvageable. And I feel like I'm Crash Davis walking by Nuke LaLoosh in the locker room, looking at him saying, this is hopeless, utterly bleeping hopeless.
The fun thing about that is it turned around for Crash Davis.
Well, and Nuke LaLoosh, too, right?
They were just wrong. They were wrong in their assessments. Yeah. Maybe the Browns could just be wrong in their assessments.
Well, the Browns usually are wrong in their assessments. It seems to be part of the problem. I was thinking you were more Bob Uecker when the Indians would go in the tank in the movie right before he passed out and said, it's your stick there, Monty. Yeah. That more felt like where your rant was going.
Yet, no, as good as that was, and as good of a pull that is by you, Nick, no, I am in the hopeless category right now. I don't see any hope here offensively. Outside of Quinshon Judkins, I see nothing that I consider to be redeemable with this offense, which is a shame because there is talent on that side of the ball. I just don't know what the hell they're trying to do with it.
Daryl, with the lack of an offensive line and the fact that the receivers continue to have drops and really they get no separation and it's just not going very well,
right?
Has it become hard to actually judge quarterbacks with this team?
Yeah, and they can't judge them themselves, but it certainly makes it harder for folks like me to judge them. No question about it, Jonathan. I mean, look, the two things that they kept telling us about Dylan Gabriel outside of the football acumen, the smarts, right? Although I would argue, I don't know that he's doing a great bang-up job right now reading defenses, but that's just me, was his mobility and his accuracy, and neither one of those were on display Sunday in Pittsburgh. And I don't want to bury a guy after two starts. I mean, Troy Aikman started his career 1-15 with the Dallas Cowboys, went on to win three Super Bowls and become a Hall of Famer. But I don't think Dylan Gabriel's it. I never thought Dylan Gabriel was it from the moment they made the pick. I have seen nothing to convince me otherwise, but in fairness to him, another quarterback change doesn't solve anything. I don't know that a coaching change right now solves anything either. This is the bed that the Browns made for themselves, especially from an offensive standpoint. You got Mike Tomlin firing shots across the bow today, Adam, for trading Joe Flacco. This is pretty bad, guys. I've lost count. What is it, 19, 20, 21, 22, 20? I've 19. lost count. 4-19 since the start of last season. This is getting pretty bad and pretty dire right now from a win-loss perspective, and there's no reason for it to be this bad. This is not they just burnt the house down to the studs like they did in 2015, 16, and 17. This is not an expansion roster like 1999, 2000, 2001. This should not be this bad, and it's bordering indefensible for me right now when I look at the product Kevin Stefanski is putting on the field when it comes to this offense.
So, with that being said, how much of yesterday's loss is on Stefanski himself?
I think a lot of it's on him. And look, the we got to be better stuff just doesn't fly anymore.
But they have to be better, Daryl.
I understand that, but you've been saying that now forever.
It's been right for a long time, too.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's been accurate.
Correct.
Right.
He's not been wrong.
It's been accurate, but I'm not seeing any improvement. I'm not seeing where we're being better, we're getting to be better, is coming into play here. I argue in some respects it's getting worse. They're actually averaging fewer points this year than they did last year. Last year was pretty bad. So I honestly don't know where they go from here, but I certainly am not willing to say that this was rock bottom because, I think this could get much, much worse.
What do you make of Mike Tomlin using Andrew Berry's name? He typically doesn't put anyone's name on things like this. He used his name intentionally there, Daryl.
There's part of me that feels like, the NFL coaching circles, it's a fraternity. It's a brotherhood. And I almost wonder if Mike Tomlin's trying to do Kevin Stefanski a solid there, saying that, what's going on in Cleveland right now really is not Kevin Stefanski's fault. It's the guy buying the groceries. It's Andrew Berry's fault. And I can't believe that Andrew Berry went ahead and traded their week one starter. Now, in defense of Andrew Berry, I got to defend him to be fair here. The Browns did trade Charlie Fry to Seattle a day after he absolutely got annihilated in the season opener. That has happened. So this whole trading Joe Flacco because he was the week one starter, that's not a low for the Browns. They have gone the day after their season opener and traded their starter before. So, but I do kind of feel like that was Mike Tomlin's coded way of maybe taking up for Kevin Stefanski.
Daryl, is it too early for the fire Stefanski talk?
Yeah, I would say yes, only from this standpoint, Nick. What does firing Kevin actually accomplish other than giving fans a pound of flesh to chew on the rest of the season? Is this a situation? Let me ask you the question. Do you feel like this is a situation when they fired Hugh Jackson, turned it over to Greg Williams, and I think they went 5-3 down the stretch to finish off that season? Do you see that type of turnaround coming if they fire Kevin Stefanski? And I guess the only person that I'd turn this thing over to would be defensive coordinator because he's got head coaching experience, Jim Schwartz. I certainly wouldn't turn over to Bubba Ventrone. Bubba Ventrone can't even deal with his own special teams unit, let alone the entire team. So I think you turn it over to Schwartz if you fired Stefanski, but is that the type of return that you'd be expecting if they did fire him?
Oh, no. It would just be about the pound of flesh thing. And by the way, I don't think they should. Because I don't think it's all Kevin's fault, and I think Kevin's trying to make the best out of
it. Yeah, I don't think it solves anything right now, Nick. That's, I guess, the issue I have with that talk. Is it solves nothing. And right now, I'm more interested in things that are solutions than it can at least get us to January with some semblance of our sanity. Because right now, if this continues the way on the path that it is right now, it's going to be a long November, December, and early January.
Daryl, the Andrew Berry discourse is what I find really fascinating, mainly because of this. If you went into this season believing that this was their poison pill year and they were just not going to be very good, then...
Which, by the way, I did, and the fact that they're 1-5 is not a surprise to me. So okay. I guess I can't be a hypocrite and be upset at them for being 1-5 when that's, what I expected them to be. I just didn't think it was going to be this ugly on offense. Well, I thought it'd be a little more competitive 1-5.
And I think that's where that falls on Stefanski in many ways, the lack of competitive nature, everything associated with that. But when it comes to Andrew Berry, how do we sit there and say we he was doing his job, essentially. He was trying to build a roster that would get you 3 or 4 wins so that they can go for 2026. He saw the lines and the glaring holes that were there for the offensive line and for the wide receivers. It's not as if he didn't see these. He chose to ignore them. So how do I look at this season as some sort of big referendum on Andrew Berry when, in fact, I feel like he's just playing out the cards that Dee Podesta and Haslam want him to play out?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why it's like... In some respects, I feel for Kevin Stefanski, even though I do hold him responsible. But at the same time, I kind of feel for him because this is the hand he has been dealt. I will not sit here, though, and say he's doing the best with what he has to work with. Because I was speaking
Andrew Berry exclusively here.
No, I understand that. But it's Andrew Berry adjacent in that, well, Andrew bought the groceries and Kevin has to, you know, put it all together.
Right, but I feel like after that game, a lot of under fire talk has been about the idea that the groceries that Andrew Berry bought were bad groceries, and it's like, I think he intended to buy bad groceries.
Yeah, okay, and what's going to save his job, I think, is the fact that this draft class is doing as well as it is. Otherwise, if they weren't playing well, if the kids weren't playing well individually, maybe not so much collectively as a team, but the kids weren't playing well individually, then I think that there would absolutely be rightful conversation about replacing Andrew Berry. But I think this draft class buys him another year, and I'll be honest with you, they're shopping for quarterbacks, and I don't know that Andrew Berry is the guy I want shopping for the quarterback, because I've seen what he's done in the quarterback room the last 6 years, and frankly, I'm not impressed. And that is the most important position. And this franchise can't get it right. And I don't trust that Andrew Berry is going to get that right. And that is going to be his number one job in 2026.
Daryl, great stuff. Congrats on shellacking Mac in the Fantasy Football League. I guarantee you he is pissed.
Never a doubt on this end.
Never. We were like, Mac, good luck with that. Daryl, good stuff, buddy.
You bet. I've revoked his trash-talking privileges, too. He needs to shut his trap for a few weeks until he wins some games.
Neither of you are good at talking trash, in fairness. Daryl Ryder brought
but
to
I
you.
But I win!
You did. You won. Yeah. So you got the last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Last laugh.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear.
Hurry, hurry!
It's quick hits.
Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin was not a fan of the Joe Flacco to Cincinnati deal.
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
So, Adam Schefter is reporting Pittsburgh is looking for wide receiver help. Would you see the humor in a Jerry Jeudy to Yinstown trade?
Well, I guess that now if it's all on the table, right? Like we just make AFC North deals left and right. That's all this is. And another way, maybe it might be Andrew Berry's way of being like, hey, please don't talk about me that way in the media.
Oh, I was thinking it would just be Andrew Berry's way of making Mike Tomlin look like a hypocrite.
That's fun.
If Mike Tomlin made those comments and then on Tuesday he traded like a 4th-round pick to Cleveland for Jerry Jeudy, you look kind of like a clown on top of Andrew Berry already kind of having some clownish tendencies.
That would be Larry David coffee spite store levels.
Yes.
That's on another. Also, it would signal that Andrew Berry is just ready to be, he's done with his job. Yeah. Like if he's doing things for spite that way, that's just, you're
maybe
just
like each week until the trade deadline, he trades with a different like division rival. Like it's maybe, like,
hey, we did it all with each one of them.
Yeah.
It's okay.
No. We were spreading the love. That's what we were doing. I still can't get over Mike Tomlin using the phrase, maybe Andrew Berry is smarter than we all are. That's really funny. I know it's not the day to like ha-ha about that sort of thing. at that sort of thing.
If you're in the Browns, and I guess it matters how high up you are, at any point, do you mention this to Andrew? I mean, he's seen the clip a million times, I'm sure, but do they make jokes about it? Do they just, or is it one of those things just no one pretends it even happened?
Well, they do tend to act like they think they're smarter than us. So do I think that there's maybe an arrogant response to that going on in Berea? Yes, I probably do. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Omaha! I hope through the back channels he does something. We'll never find out
like
about
Petty.
It, but I hope through the back channels something happens. There's some sort of Andrew Berry response there. Drew Aller, your guy, out for the season. Now, you have him in the quarterback board or no? I don't
sure
remember.
Do.
I couldn't remember off the
sure
top of
do.
My head. You do.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Yeah, so what does that mean for the... Are we going to have a change in the quarterback Deadpool or no?
I don't know, because I don't think he can apply for another year of eligibility, although
no,
he absolutely should.
He's used all four. Well, I was wondering about a grad transfer, though.
Well, that might actually make some sense, because you can apply for... Depends on how much of the season you play.
Yes, there are definitely injury hardship ones. And by the way, the NCAA is very... hey, does it feel like you could... Bring us money, then okay, fine. We'll grant that. So he would get what he wanted in this.
You know who's going to need a quarterback in about a year's time?
Who's that?
QB1 Central, Miami. Think about it. They're going to put Carson Beck in as probably a first rounder after this year. They had Cam Ward be the number one pick last year. Let's get Drew Aller to Miami. Right? Get a little tan on you. Actually play in an offense that, you know, that's quarterback friendly. Come on, let's do it.
I mean, if you're Drew Aller, you have to find a way to play somewhere next year.
Yes.
Because as of right now, you're day three at best.
I think at best is the right word. Yeah.
At best, yeah. That's unfortunate.
Thanks, James Franklin.
I did like this little nugget out of this. Sources at Penn State had been told that this was all driven by Adidas. So Nike's their sponsorship right now, but next year kicks in with a 10-year deal with Adidas. And so they say that Adidas is covering all of the expenses within the James Franklin firing.
I saw that. Did you see Adidas fired back saying, that's not us?
It's not us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Adidas would say, even if it was them. But yeah, I like that the waters are murky a little bit.
I like the idea that a shoe company would be so embarrassed by James Franklin, they'd be like, we'll cover the costs. This is we just can't have them wearing Adidas.
I also like that James Franklin could be coaching at like Arkansas next year, and that just feels...
Hey, your boy Matt Rhule, by the way, was asked about it today, and he did not shoot down any rumors of him being interested.
I know. Matt Rhule really only stays places three or less years until Penn State.
He was like, Nebraska's cool, but, you know, hey.
Yeah. Wait, you're going to pay me to go coach where I played? You're going to pay me a lot of money? Oh, gosh. I think his buyout's $5 million.
Hmm.
I think he's still making $5 million a year, at least from Dave Tepper, for the whole failed NFL thing. The Dolphins, who you're going to see this week, are 1-5 after Chargers kicker Cameron Dicker hit a game winner for the 29-27 win. After the game, Miami quarterback Tua Tagovailoa gave some insight into the Dolphins' struggles going beyond the field.
I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys, what we're expecting out of the guys. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late, guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? It's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
Tua's like the most media-friendly quarterback in the world. Like, he very rarely ever says anything incendiary, so this is basically his version of unloading the clip. Would you rather be Mike McDaniel or Kevin Stefanski right now?
Ooh, I'd rather be Stefanski because he's he's just a more well-grounded human, and I think without football, he'll be fine in life. Mike McDaniel needs football, I think. He needs some sort of identity or something. I feel like Stefanski, if he never did anything around sports ever again, he'd just be fine, and he'd live a nice life, and he's made $20-plus million. He'll be cool. McDaniel and those Capri pants of his, I just don't know that he jives the same way.
Ready for this take? I've been thinking about this for a while. Texted a couple buddies it yesterday.
Okay.
If both things go south, Jim Schwartz is my DC next year, Mike McDaniel's my OC, and then go find me my Tomlin, my Campbell, my Vrabel, somebody that can actually lead an organization and I don't know, maybe like make fans feel something when they talk.
Yeah, that's what we're going to need. We're going to need, if we're going to go for that type of guy, and I know there's been a couple people that have talked about in that space, like basically pulling off the Dan Campbell type role. then Mike McDaniel's an OC is going to be fantastic. I'd sign up for a second in that.
If we only had a guy like Mike Vrabel in this building at any point in the last 6 years.
If only.
Omaha!
Speaking of Dan Campbell, he is extremely disappointed with what he's calling an inexcusable incident after the Chiefs game last night. Patrick Mahomes was involved in this one. Yeah, Brian Branch walked past Mahomes without returning a gesture. Mahomes tried dapping him up and tried being all friendly with it. And Juju Smith-Schuster thought that was like disrespectful as hell. And then all of a sudden, a brouhaha broke out. It seemed like both sides were going to be fighting forever. All of a sudden, Mahomes was giving dirty looks to Dan Campbell. And the end result is Dan Campbell saying, Branch, We don't act like that around here with Detroit and how we do things with the Detroit Lions. Did you make anything of this kerfuffle of sorts? It was very odd. It was very weird. And it was very very apparent in the postgame.
It had to be with Juju Smith-Schuster, who I feel like is in one of these a year. I do make something out of it. I'd be surprised if he's not suspended. I think that people point to the Jalen Carter thing. Because Jalen Carter got thrown out at the very beginning of the game, the NFL treated that as a one-game suspension. The NFL has gone out of their way to make a case of sportsmanship. This was a tremendously bad look for Brian, and I would be really surprised. Like I know people are talking like a heavy fine. I think the NFL's been itching for a thing like this to make a decision on.
Was that a genuine high five that he was offering up to Brian Branch there?
You think that was a sarcastic high five? I don't know.
Like almost like, hey, we won the game, so like, yeah, hey, here we go. Yeah, you played well though, buddy, little guy.
Patrick just does not seem to have the kind of personality that would indicate a sarcastic high five as possible.
Oh, he's got that. I watched way too much of him in that Netflix documentary. He definitely has that in him.
Omaha!
All right, let's go with Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson has been enjoying the view from the bench, but now his views have been obstructed just a little bit more as Richardson suffered an orbital fracture, warming up with elastic bands before the Colts 31-27 win over the Colts. The Cardinals, excuse me, most embarrassing injury in NFL history, breaking your own eye socket because of elastic bands.
It's up in the territory of like Sammy Sosa sneezing and then hurting his back.
That's a real thing now that we're above 40, above 40.
It's in that territory, though.
It reminded me of Chris Hansen, the Jaguars punter, who got burns from a fondue pot. And the other was he almost chopped off his leg with an axe in the living room.
Was he stopping child predators too?
No, different Chris Hansen.
Okay,
who are the Grammatica brothers?
Yeah.
Didn't two of the Grammatica brothers tear ACLs while celebrating? I know at least one did. That's the kind of level we're talking about here.
I guess you could tear an ACL anywhere, I guess.
Like almost losing your eye because of an elastic band while warming up for an NFL competition. And he's like one of the most athletic quarterbacks I've ever seen in the NFL. Makes you look wildly unathletic.
Do you want to see the photos? I want to see the photos. I want to see how much of this elastic band kicked his ass.
I do. And it's not great that I want to see it.
If you're him, you're like, I can't even be seen in public until this swells down because I don't want that out there of how bad the elastic band got the best of me.
Or do you steer into the skid and you release the video?
Like, you know how some people keep track of their like career fight record? They're like, how you did in your career livelihood of just fights that you've gotten into.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I'm 0-1. Elastic band got me.
He's got to lean into it. You can't get real serious about this or people will not like you.
Imagine if
more.
He was like actually having to start the game and be a serious player. If he was good and actually had to start the game, and then you bet on the game, you're getting ready, he's your fantasy quarterback, all these things, and he just gets taken out by an elastic band.
In fairness, imagine he was just Anthony Richardson and he was going to start that game and got taken out by an elastic band.
Colts are very real right now. Danny Dimes, we got to start calling him Danny Dollars again.
They are going to come back to earth so hard. They barely eked past Jacoby Brissett.
If the season ended right now, the Colts and the Buccaneers would be your number one playoff seeds.
One of those things will remain, the other will not. Was that the most embarrassing injury in NFL history? We'll take your submissions at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.